Zach, you know, of course, we're talking about Delta kicking off the heart of the earnings season. Certainly a strong start. We've got the big banks reporting tomorrow. Inflation, no question, going to be weighing on the C-suite, especially as they talk about their forecast for the year. And we got additional inflation data this morning, the producer price index. We're talking about wholesale prices that producers pay, or paid to U.S. producers, I should say. That was up about 0.2% from the previous month in December. So that's the good news. The number came in lower than expected and marked a steep drop off from the spikes that we saw in the previous 2 months. And yet here we are still talking about the biggest gain on record for PPI. So on the one hand, certainly some signs of moderation, if you can call it that, looking at a three-month trend, but still really high there. And that seems to suggest, or really points to, the challenge that the Fed faces moving forward.
Yeah, and we heard that yesterday in our conversation with Vice President Kamala Harris's chief economic advisor as well. Kind of too early to say, look, we're out of the woods yet, but hoping to see an acceleration in the deceleration, if that makes sense, of kind of the inflation that we've seen lately, and a trend that they can point to heading into midterms to say, look, you know, this is a problem obviously caused by a lot of supply disruptions, but getting better as we move closer to the time when Americans are going to be going into the voting booth. But still, I think a little bit too early to maybe say that we're out of the woods. And if you look at, you know, this new report from the Wall Street Journal kind of talking about what global leaders think is going to be a big problem, you got more than 50% of them saying that inflation and what the Fed does to kind of reel that in is going to be the top thing to watch, and maybe not a surprise there. But interesting when you put it into the global context too, Akiko, because of course the Fed making these decisions not necessarily operating in a vacuum. Of course, we've seen other central banks maybe be a little bit more aggressive and maybe even trying to counter some of the inflationary pressures out there. Also something that international business leaders are looking at too. Maybe surprising though to see a break from that trend when you look at Japan and China. Some of those business leaders, they're still more focused on the pandemic and the threat there. Potentially, if you're going to see maybe another variant pop back up or more issues around staffing and everything else that, of course, we can't overlook yet either.
Yeah, I mean, if you talk about a country like China, part of the challenge has been the zero COVID policy, where it's been so disruptive, a stop and go, if you will, every time there's one case that pops up. So certainly that's been weighing on the economy as a whole, especially in manufacturing, something to be watching there. Let's bring in William Sells, HSBC Private Banking and Wealth Global Chief Investment Officer. And William, as we talk about inflation, it is worth noting we did hear from Jay Powell earlier this week during that confirmation hearing saying that inflationary pressures on that front, things haven't really changed since November. And the fear is that if it lasts even longer, well into the second half of the year, it could increasingly become entrenched. How are you looking at the data that we got this week on that front?
So, well, if you look at the market is saying that, you know, there's no deterioration, at least in the risk of it becoming ingrained, you know, to some extent as well, because obviously they are expecting the Fed, you know, to hike three times this year like we do. So to some extent, that is already in the price. So if you decompose the movement in the bond market into inflation expectations and then the real rate, it's the real rate that has moved up and that is hurting tech stocks and that is, you know, hurting the direction of the stock market. The inflation expectations are actually reasonably stable. So still in line with the potential for inflation to come down later this year. And that's also our view.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, just to kind of further build on the point of what we're hearing from business leaders, you also got 82% in a Conference Board survey saying that they've seen prices increase in terms of the inputs for their businesses. And when you think about the other side of that, as we kind of get ready to see more earnings reports trickle in, I mean, last year it didn't seem like an issue of passing some of those price increases along to the consumer. But the farther along we get into this recovery, I mean, how do you see maybe some of that holding up and what kind of pressure it might put on earnings this year?
Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, I think the safe and the right strategy is to try to indeed find those companies that can pass on those price increases to their customers. And typically what it is something to realize, obviously, is that, you know, when you look at the S&P type company, 500 type companies, those typically have a better market position than the average company in, you know, the U.S. In the U.S. economy. So our view is that you need to look at those, you know, companies with strong market positions, or also in those companies that are really seeing the tailwind from some very structural, strong structural growth areas. So, for example, the activities in automation and robotics. There is opportunities in the metaverse. There is the healthcare technology, not necessarily healthcare broadly, but the technology area there. And I think generally many of the consumer-related companies are doing relatively well because, consumers want to bring their lives back to normal. And many of them actually have saved a bit. So, as long as the labor market continues to improve, those, consumers will get the confidence to start to spend some of those savings that they have accumulated.
Willem, as Zach noted, certainly inflation, not a U.S.-only story. We've seen this globally. And yet it does feel like the approach is a little different. If we're talking central banks specifically, the ECB has been a little more patient, not moving as aggressively as the Fed, for example. You look at how things are being approached over in Asia, too. How does that change things up for you from an investment standpoint as you look at opportunities globally?
Yeah, very interestingly. I mean, Asia obviously doesn't have as much of an inflation problem as we have over here in the UK or over there where you sit in the US. So they can go much slower. They also have a real rate, so the rate above inflation, which is, reasonably respectable. So they don't need to tighten. And that gives them the possibility of obviously having even some targeted measures where they're going to stimulate the economy. In our view, that will lead to a stabilization of growth in China in the second quarter or in the second half and potentially then bring people back to those stock markets. For now, however, probably still, headwinds and some uncertainty. So we have a neutral on China and diversify into the ASEAN countries, the likes of Indonesia, Thailand, and Singapore. We like both Europe and the US. US is more of a market which we call a quality market, so quality stocks with that margin power, and Europe is a cheaper market. But Europe should benefit from the EU Next Generation Fund, so investments in digital infrastructure and broader infrastructure.
Willem Sells, always good to get your take on the global picture. HSBC Private Banking and Wealth Global Chief Investment Officer.